So we talked about Christ as King. And this week we're going to focus on Christ is being sent, right? That's our theme, as our deliverer. Hallelujah. We sang about all that this morning, freedom in Christ and being rescued. And Christ came to rescue us, to deliver us from sin. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this opportunity, God, to focus on your word, to celebrate the freedom that we have in Christ, oh God, and that you came as deliverer, oh God, to rescue us. And so, God, as we focus on your word this morning, I pray, Lord, that it just sows an amazing seed in the hearts of those who hear it today, oh God, and bear fruit that will last in these lives, these precious souls that are here. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would just join with me, and if you have your Bibles with you today, Mark chapter 1, we're going to just read the beginning of the gospel. And I love how this starts. You know, it is believed that the gospel of Mark was the first one that was written. And in the way that this gospel begins, it kind of alludes to that as well. In chapter 1, it says, the beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. All right, so we're going to read through verse 8, and it goes on to say, it is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. And so John came, baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Now, recently I heard another message on this section of scripture. And you know, we sometimes think that like it might be just kind of walking down to the local stream and that it was close. And basically, that's not the case at all. They had to go out of their way to get to where John was. It was not close to where they were living. They were out in the wilderness, right? It says that John was in the wilderness preaching this repentance. And people went out of their way. They traveled across a far distance to be able to get where John was, to hear the message. They knew that they needed to repent. And then it goes on to say, confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message. After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Amen? So John's ministry was so focused on the baptism of repentance that he was known as who? John the Baptist, or John the Baptizer. That was such a big part of his ministry. And it says a baptism of repentance. So what does it mean to truly repent? So repentance implies making a complete turnaround or a change. In spiritual terms or in relation to God, it means to admit one's sin, right? First, we have to recognize that we are sinners, that we have sin in our lives. We turn from our own way, all right? Oftentimes, we are living our own lives the way that we would like to do. So we repent, we confess our sin, we turn from our own way, and we surrender to God and begin following his purposes. John immersed people in water as an outward sign of an inward spiritual cleansing that happens as we confess and we repent, that God comes in and scrubs us clean from the inside out. Baptism is not, all right, baptism is not, and nor has it ever been, the main issue in receiving forgiveness. It's not efficacious, right, then. It doesn't do anything for our salvation. Our salvation comes from confessing Christ as Savior, and baptism is an outward sign. The main issue is true repentance, and that's what enables us to receive that precious gift of forgiveness from Christ. Now, I know that we don't have a baptistry here, okay? A place where we can baptize people, but I was really feeling like we should have a baptism service in January. What other way to start the new year than to begin a new year and a new life in Christ? And so I'm going to give a call to those that have received Christ as Savior. Maybe you're recently saved and you said, you know what, I've confessed Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, and I've never really had the opportunity to be baptized by immersion, all right? Some of us have been sprinkled. Some of us maybe a little cup poured over the head. But it says that baptism, the word, is to immerse. We go under the water. The old man goes under the water and the new man comes. And so what we'll do is we'll rent a place with a pool. All right, either the Y or a hotel pool. And we'll make that happen. I don't want to have to wait for the warm weather for us to get in the water. Amen? All right, when we hear it and we see the model in the Bible, it is they received Christ or they repented and they went in the water. There wasn't a waiting until it was convenient, you know, or it was warm or the weather was conducive, but they went in the water. So at our guest table, there are those connection cards that we have. If that's something that you want to explore, being baptized, if you've never been baptized by immersion, please sign that up and I'll connect with you about that. All right, that was my commercial. It's an important thing to do. As Mark begins his account of the gospel of Jesus, he intentionally makes us remember the past, but in a good way. From the beginning, he ties the trailblazing ministry of John the Baptist, right? The guy was crazy out there. You heard what we read about, what he wore, camel hair and eating wild honey and locusts, and yet people kept coming. There was no judgment on this guy. They were like, he's preparing the way. He ties that ministry of John the Baptist and the rescue mission of Jesus with the ancient prophecy of Isaiah 40. And we shared some of that last week, too. We'll read that in a moment. It's significant because Mark understood that the Jewish readers of that time, and even now, right, would understand the context of Isaiah 40. And they know that Isaiah 40 was a prophecy about deliverance from exile. All right, so last week we talked about how Isaiah was split in two major sections. The first 39 chapters of the book are weighed down with repeated warnings about judgment that was coming. All right, Isaiah was a prophet for the Lord, trying to encourage them to repent. So he warned of judgment. He warned the Jewish people that they would be taken captive. But in chapter 40 of what we're going to read today, it represents a break, a pivotal point in his prophecy. After the tragedy of the exile, God will speak again. Isaiah says, and he will say, "Comfort, comfort my people." And then he points ahead by saying, "A voice of one calling." So Isaiah 40 prophesied to John, as we read in the Gospel of Mark. In the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. To those who are captive in exile, God sends a deliverer. Amen? And Mark says in his gospel, that's what the story of Jesus is all about. Jesus is sent to reclaim his people from exile. So if you want to turn with me now, we read the gospel of Mark, and we're going to go back to what it relates to or refers to, and that's Isaiah, the book of the book of Isaiah, chapter 40. And we're going to read verses 1 through 11 if you're there. All right, beginning in verse 1, chapter 40. "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, and every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed. And all mankind together will see it, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever." Amen. "You who bring good tidings to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up, do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and his arm rules for him. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young." Hallelujah. This is the Lord, our shepherd. The promise of Isaiah 40 is rooted in the reality of Jerusalem's exile. This is what Isaiah was talking about, this people that were sent into exile. Because of their stubborn sin and their disobedience, they would experience judgment at the hands of Babylonian invaders. This is a fact. They would live under the cruel yoke of captivity, and the center of their worship would be destroyed. Jerusalem is destroyed. So sure, they were exiled a long way from home, yes? If you know the story at all, that they were brought for generations to Babylon. The Assyrian army came in and took over. But you may be asking yourself, okay, that's great. I know the history. So what does that have to do with me? I'm not in exile. I'm living in my home. I'm happy. I'm where I belong. Well, I'll tell you how our exile is. Sin is our exile. Sin is our exile. This is how we have experienced the same. Only our captor is not merely an enemy nation, but the curse of sin. Born into slavery, we are hopeless prisoners in desperate need of rescue, in need of a deliverer. I am in need of a deliverer. Amen? And how do we get here? Through our own failure as a people, right? In the beginning, humanity was created for union with God, but we fell into temptation, betraying our king in exchange for a tyrant. And this pride has plagued us ever since. And that's why we need Advent. We need our deliverer. I want you to listen to Paul's words in Romans 7. And maybe you know this well. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind, and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. There is a law of sin at work within us. We might want to do all the good that we have, but there is something within us that pulls us in the wrong direction. And he goes on to say, "What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death?" There's always this kind of tension coming between the mind versus the spirit, right? It says also in Scripture that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. This part of us that calls us into sin all the time, that's a weak thing. Anybody ever struggle with any kind of thing in the flesh? Addictions, smoking, drinking, too many donuts, right? I mean, we sit and we look at everybody else and we say, you know what, they're struggling with something and they might have some kind of a thing that they're wrestling with, but I'm good. But you know what the truth is? We all have stuff that we wrestle with. Maybe it's anger for you. Maybe it's cursing. It could be anything, but we struggle because the flesh is weak. Our spirit is willing. The more that we get to know Christ and the more that we align ourselves with him, we want to do the things that he calls upon us to do, but we struggle with that. So we need to surrender that to God. So who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? That was Paul asks. And that might be your question today, right? Who will rescue me? If we are in exile, if sin is our exile, then what's the answer? Well, Paul goes on to say in verse 25, "Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord." Hallelujah. I don't know if you've ever felt abandoned. These people, they were a people together. Place was important to them. Being near the temple was important to them. And they were brought out of that. So not only were they not in their homeland, a place that was secure for them, they believed that they were not near the presence of God, because they weren't at the temple. They had to learn how to rethink and how to worship in a place that was not their own. Have you ever felt far from God? Have you ever felt lonely? Have you ever felt that God was so far off that you couldn't possibly reconnect? And that's where they were. They were in exile. And sometimes the stuff in our lives, the sin in our lives, makes us feel that we are so far from God that we can't possibly get back. But the answer is that we do have a rescuer. We do have a deliverer. And if we are in exile, then Jesus is our exodus. God was not content to leave us in exile. He's never content. We might have times and seasons in our lives where God is working something out in us. But God is not content to leave us in that state. He seeks that all would come to repentance, into relationship with him. Yes, sin is judged. Do not be confused about that. God is righteous. God is holy. We cannot continue in sin and think that we can continue to draw close to God. He cannot look upon it. We need to make sure that we stay covered in the blood of Christ. Jesus provides rescue. Just as the Jewish people look for deliverance from Babylon, so we too long for deliverance from sin. While the clear context of Isaiah 40 is centered in the Babylonian captivity, there's important language here designed to trigger even deeper memories, especially for those that were reading that, the Jewish people. When Isaiah prophesies that a deliverer will come and make straight the paths in the desert, you can feel the jolt. There's a shared memory there for them, for God's people. A deliverer leading us out of captivity through the desert. God had done that before, and they knew that God had done that before, using Moses to free the Israelites from Egypt. This was one of the most significant identity-shaping moments of their history before they went off, as Moses led the people from slavery into freedom through the desert. He made a way. And for us, it's our sin is our slavery. Like Paul had said, we are slaves to sin. This body is slave to sin, but Christ brings us out. He is doing it again. In this particular Advent, the history of captivity and rescue that marked God's people would now culminate in the ultimate freedom. Ultimate freedom. Led by a deliverer far greater than Moses. Amen? Your deliverer is here. We sang that. That's why I wanted so desperately to sing that song before we heard the message today. Christ is here. A voice is sounding loud. Christ is here. Christ is here. These people that were in exile, and the people, do you know from the last prophecy to the time of Christ, it was hundreds of years? Silent. Nothing. Nothing. And still they held out hope. But God is not silent. God is not silent. We have his word. We know that we can hope in him. We know that we have a deliverer. There is no silence. Christ is here. And yes, our sin is our exile, but Jesus is our exodus. And that's why we need Advent. Jesus is sent to reclaim us, to reclaim his people from exile and lead us into the freedom of his grace. I think we need to pause sometimes and reflect on the freedom you've been given through Christ. Do you take the time sometimes to just think, God, where would I be without you? The freedom that we've gained through Christ, through his sacrifice on the cross, that is something we should never take for granted. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, it says this. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. We need to remember our exile. There's a reason why God has certain scriptures that become this living word that we use each and every day, this guidebook for our lives. Sometimes we might read it and say, I don't want to remember these things. And sometimes we need to remember, not in a convicting way, not why we go back and we rehearse all our mistakes. Nobody wants to do that. But we need to be mindful of where God has brought us from. We need to be mindful of our exile, of what it is that God has delivered us from. If we remember our exile, then we too remember our exodus and the deliverance that we have and the freedom that we have in Christ. I think too often we confuse the words of the enemy in our lives and the remembrance of God. In Romans, it also says that there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ. All right? So if you are remembering things and you're feeling guilty, fear, conviction about stuff that God has already made right in your life, that's not God. That's the devil trying to mess with your head. All right? The devil tries to make us believe that we are unworthy recipients of God's grace. And that's not the truth. If, though, we remember things, we remember our exile with thanksgiving, and remember what God has brought us from, that's different. That's how we give glory to God. Bless you, brother. And so we want to remember our exodus by remembering how far we've come. And I pray that as you continue to remember these things in context, right? In juxtaposition, we're our exile, but then we have an exodus. Yes, we are slaves to sin, but we have the victory through Christ. Yes, we might have sinned in the past, but we are made new through Christ. We are new creatures. The old man is gone, the new has come. And so as we walk through this life and we continue to walk through what God has called us to do, we will make mistakes. We will sin. But we need to make sure that as soon as that happens, we repent. John professed a baptism of repentance to prepare. And so we need to make sure that as we recognize those things in our lives that we know that are separating us from God, that we would continue to repent and continue to move towards God, move towards that exodus, move towards that promised land. As he makes straight the paths in the desert, he's prepared a way already. We need to walk in that. We need to walk in that. And not walk in conviction and walk with a burden. My yoke is easy and my burden is light, he says. So we don't want to come in a life of Christ, in a life of victory, held down in defeat. That's not a life of victory. But we cannot ever forget where God has delivered us from. Amen? A voice is sounding loud. Christ is here. Christ is here. Hallelujah. Just before we close, I just want to give us an opportunity. I don't take the, when we gather for worship like this, in obedience, I have to give the opportunity for anybody to take that step with Christ if you've never done it before. Because it doesn't matter. One week, God softens our hearts to the things of God. And sometimes we just need to be immersed in it before we're willing to walk in it. And so if you're here today and you've never taken that first step and received Christ as your Savior, to make that commitment, it's a commitment, right? To following Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. Have you never made that commitment? Would you come up here with me? And let's pray for you this morning. It's the best decision you'll ever make in your life. As all the things of the past fall away, and that we know that we can walk in the plans and purposes of his call on our lives. Not to walk in the things of the world, but to walk in things of the Spirit and have his Spirit live and dwell in you. If you've never made that choice this morning, would you like to come forward? I'll give it a minute. Hallelujah, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I know that you know your people, oh God, and the needs on your people. And so, God, we just wait on you. Have your Spirit have your way this morning, oh God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, to follow that up, If there is anybody here that has slipped, well, we all slip, okay? But that you feel like you had been walking in the wrong direction for a while, and you really want to make the right choice today and to follow in the plans and purposes of God, to recommit your life to following after him, I invite you to come forward so we can pray for you and come around you as a church and support you. Is there anyone here that would like to come and recommit their lives to Christ? Would you raise your hand if that's you? Anyone? Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit, oh God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. As we continue, and let's just be in a spirit of prayer right now, if you would just bow your heads. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, God, that you truly are our deliverer. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you have crashed into our world, oh God, and provided a way of deliverance, God, a way of rescue for your people. I'm so thankful, Lord, that even though we may have been in exile, oh God, that we can be found in you and be home in you, to be brought into a place where we can worship you in spirit and truth no matter where we are, God. That has no significance of place or time, God, but that where your spirit is, and as you live and dwell in us, oh God, that we can worship you no matter where we are. Thank you, Lord, for restoring us, for bringing us into fellowship with you, oh God, and continue to bless your people as they walk out the call that you have on their lives, oh God, as they turn from the world and keep their eyes fixed on you, oh God, that you would strengthen them and encourage them, oh God. If their eye would turn to the right or to the left, oh God, that Holy Spirit conviction on that, oh God, would come upon them, Lord, and keep their eyes straight ahead. I pray for your protection on these precious ones that are gathered here, oh God. I pray protection from sickness, oh God, and from any harm. Your word promises, God, that no weapon formed against us shall prosper, oh God. So we claim the promises of your word, that you are faithful, oh God, that you are our healer, that you are our provider, that you are our deliverer, oh God. Thank you, Lord, as we continue to follow after you. Strengthen us, encourage us, oh God. I give you thanks, Lord, that you've provided this place, a place of sanctuary. Let us continue just to be open, God, to what your Spirit is doing. I pray, God, that we continue to love on one another. And as we do so, oh God, that people will recognize your Spirit in us. Because even you told us, God, it's by our love that we will be known. Let us be known, oh God, of people that love, first and foremost. And as we do, oh God, I pray, Lord, that your name is glorified. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, God, bless us today. As we come and as we go, I thank you, Lord, that you are a God that makes all things new through the power of your Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Be blessed.